an estimated 70% of South Sudanese school-going girls and women experience period poverty. And according to the Bogen Project, even though menstruation is a fact of life for most women, cultural practices prevent conversations about this subject. And so it's quite important to talk about periods. It's quite important to create awareness even at a very young stage. And so right now it's really, really hard for women in South Sudan and girls as well, as they face a lot of stigma in schools, they face a lot of stigma in the community. And one research in 2014 says the menstrual hygiene baseline study conducted across the country found that 28% of young girls believe that menstruation is a disease. That is just so bad. And so to help us get more accurate information on this topic, we're now joined by Data Gordon, who's with me in the studio. And so, Data Gordon is the founder, actually I would say he's the initiator of Men for Women Initiative, which is now an organization that was just registered early this year, and he's the executive director. Data Gordon, good morning and welcome to Radio Miraya.
A good morning and a happy Women's Month.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah. I rarely get that. Even though it is. Well, Data Gordon, I mean, first of all, I want to just give a brief background on you and your reasons for wanting to highlight issues around menstruation. It's almost a taboo in some cultures in South Sudan. What made you go forward with this initiative in the first place?
Thank you so much. First of all, Data Gordon was once a student like any other, a pupil and a student, and then became a teacher and then went into some, of course, other engagements. But one key thing is that in all this aspect of life, as I was growing up, I realized that in school, we boys enrollment in the lower primary from P1, P2, P3 or even nursery, find that girls are extremely higher. And then as time goes by, girls continue to drop out of school. Now, the question is, at lower primary, most girls do not menstruate. But then at the upper primary, girls start to menstruate. And then...
All right.
For us... For us men, for us as boys, is that there are key aspects of things that happen. In school, the setup is that girls will go for their monthly meetings or periodic meetings with their senior women teacher. And then sometimes as they go for those meetings, you find that when they come back, boys already know and they already have terms or terminologies that they use on these girls, and these are stigmatizing terminologies. And worst case scenario is that if a girl stains her cloth or her uniform, it is more worse. And in a situation where the girl might even leave the school and go to another school, but you remember that she stays within the same village or community and meeting the same stigmatizers who are the boys. So most of the times is that the retention rate of girls in school is extremely very low. And because of that, you find that in secondary school, girls are lower in number than the boys. And that alone led to, how can we engage men and boys to be able to support women and girls in issues of menstrual health, in issues of sexual gender-based violence, and in issues of HIV and AIDS? Because to be very honest, we are the stigmatizers, we are mostly the perpetrators, and we are mostly the transmitters of most of these things. So that gave birth to Men for Women.
Wow. And how long have you been active in working with young girls and women?
Since 2019, that was around June. That's when we started the Men for Women. It was an initiative. And when we started it, we, of course, started working with boys and girls. We've gone to primary schools, we've gone to secondary schools, and our discussions have not only been with girls, because our primary focus are the boys who are the stigmatizers. So we've also engaged boys. So that was the start of the Men for Women initiative and my engagement with boys and girls in terms of menstrual health.
Okay. Mm. Now, as Men for Women, you're aware of what is happening in the country regarding the kind of work that you do. Mm-hmm. So, what would you say is the current situation in our society regarding menstruation? Given your experience, you've gone down to the women, you've gone down to schools. What's the situation like?
I will say it's devastating because still in Juba, you find that there is so much stigma. Still in Juba, you find that availability, accessibility, affordability of menstrual products is a problem. And now, if this is Juba, how about outside Juba? Mm-hmm. One time we traveled to Obama Village, and we had a colleague friend, a female friend, who was already, of course, menstruating. Mm-hmm. And we went around the shops there to be able to access menstrual products. But it was very unfortunate that within Obama Village, the common name is that, we didn't find any shop that is selling menstrual products. So that alone brings in the bigger picture of people outside. Mm-hmm. Now, for example, let's talk about Unity State. They say about 80% of Unity State is in water. Now, what is the situation like? Is our menstrual products a priority now in Unity States?
Mm-hmm.
When COVID-19 came in, you find that menstrual products were initially not a priority. They were not the basic commodities that are supposed to be given brought into the country.
Mm.
So one thing is that there are a lot of things that happens. The situation around women and girls is very devastating in terms of accessibility to menstrual products.
Mm.
And even menstrual products are very expensive. And now imagine if a woman, a mother, is not able to afford menstrual products. How about the girls?
Yes.
So these are big questions that usually we find out, and asking them is a big issue. And around also menstruation is that the situation in most parts of the country is that the moment a girl starts to menstruate, celebration is organized,
yeah,
and she's already pronounced a woman, and the man can now come and take her as a wife, even if she's 13, 14, 15, 16, 17.
Wow.
Which is very unfortunate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. That's quite interesting there. I mean, at that age, I mean, the earliest a girl can menstruate is at 9.
Yeah.
And that person is ready for marriage?
Yes.
Wow.
Unfortunately, in other communities.
And so, given this situation, what is the danger here?
The danger is that, you know, menstruation cuts across all aspects. When you talk about menstruation, as I said, you talk about availability of products, being pads, being reusable, disposable, being tampons, which there are very few within the city, being menstrual cups, I've never seen them around, and many other things. Now, the situation is that because of problems with the affordability, you find that there are researches that are done outside the country, which to me is not much different from also inside the country, is that some girls might even go out, have sex for money, and use that money for buying parts. Now, most of the times this sex happens, it's not protected.
Mm-hmm.
Because we also have a lot of stigma around condom use. And then you find that the transmission of HIV and other sexual transmitted infections increases,
mm-hmm,
among the young the young population, and this affects so much. Also, the fact that a girl growing up is not told that at a certain age you're going to menstruate is also a big concern.
Mm-hmm.
So you find that it gives in room for a lot of stereotypes.
Mm-hmm.
It gives in room for the girl to break out, drop out of school. It brings in room on isolation. Girls isolate themselves from the family, the public or the community.
Mm-hmm.
When they are menstruating, you find that if they are in school, they will abscond school and they will be at home. If they are at home, sometimes they are pushed out to specific locations where you have to sit on ash.
Yes.
Because you do not have products, if you don't have cotton or other pieces of clothes. Even religious-wise, it is very unfortunate that some religious institutions will not allow you to visit their I will say their holy house, in bracket. Because
wow.
Honestly, okay. we are a result of a misty period.
I like that you've pointed that. We are a result of a menstruation period. But before we get deeper into that, you just talked about availability,
yeah.
the lack of these things, the pads and the cotton. And joining us now is our other guest, our second guest, who is Josie Nyadak, who's actually joining us from Fangak County. There's a bit of a network issue there, so she's joining us on Zoom. Josie, can you hear me?
Yeah, loud and clear.
Yes, Josie, thank you so much for joining me right about now as we continue with these conversations on menstrual poverty. Now, you have an interesting observation from Fanga. Could you just briefly tell us what are your observations of there as you work with the women in Fangak County?
Thank you very much for inviting me over for in this very important discussion. Yeah, I think I've posted a video like 3 days ago, and it's a big concern. It's been a challenge. And this location, it's a hard to reach area. It's deep, it's somewhere in Jomilee. So here, women are really suffering when it comes to menstrual hygiene management, which is a serious thing. So in the local market, they are not available. They are nowhere to be found, like completely. Maybe if you get something small that you say, I'm going to maybe get myself a pad or anything, it's mm-hmm. not there. Sometimes there are few organizations that help. They bring in some MHM kids, but cannot cover maybe half of the population, not even a quarter. So it's really difficult. So I've been having some discussion with women. You know, in this context we're in, women can't talk about these things because they find them very embarrassing. They can't really talk or open up about it because they feel dirty. They feel they cannot. When they talk about it, people will maybe isolate them or, yeah.
Wow.
So
and
during this time,
I just cut you there.
This time,
let me just cut you short before you continue, Josie. I want to, you said there's no availability of sanitary pads and towels over there. How are they handling the situation though?
Yeah, this is the biggest challenge here. Sometimes you just get a piece of cloth, you use it in that time. So they cannot move, they cannot even come where people are. And despite of the challenges we're facing of the floods, this place was badly hit by floods since last year. So people are in one place. So it makes them really uncomfortable to even interact with others. So it becomes an issue. So I asked a few ladies, how do they go about it? Yes, of course, they were somehow hesitant to tell me because they feel they're really shy and they could talk about it. They told me, you just get a cloth and that's it. Then you will wash it after some few minutes and then you put it on. That is how they survive. Here, mostly women and girls are the one providing for the families since there's shortage of food, so they have to go to the river, get water lily to feed their families. All the ladies, mostly in the morning, women and girls, you'll find them in the river looking for water lily. So during that period, you cannot go. You cannot even like really do anything. And you cannot express it maybe to the family members, I cannot go because of 1, 2, 3. So it becomes a big dilemma. Because they feel it's really embarrassing to even talk to your husband about it or a male relative in the family. It's hard. It's really hard. So this is how they've been surviving for the last few years, which I find it's really sad, you know?
Yeah, it's really a sad situation. And with the IDP situation, you know, they're displaced from their homes, even having to use a cloth and rewash it. I don't know if the soap is available. And how would you say is it the flood situation that is causing the shortage, or has it been there before the flood situation?
It has been like it has been there before even the flood crisis. So here, getting goods from Juba, it's very hard because it's not easily accessible. Mostly they get their goods from Juba and it takes some weeks for them to reach here. There's no any other way apart from the river and air, which mostly it's only humanitarian use air to maybe come and do the activities and so on. So it's really locked. Getting services, it's really difficult. So they've never been available in the market apart from the few organizations that will bring them once in a while, which there are a lot of people who will not manage to get.
Wow.
This is how they've been surviving.
Okay. Nyadak, just hold on the line for a moment. Let me speak to Data Gordon. Data, you just heard what's going on in Pangak. Have you been to other locations that are experiencing the same?
Yeah. I've just been to Bentiu, and I managed to have discussions, focus group discussion, much as it's on a different topic, but of course with the fact that I am so passionate about issues of menstrual health, sexual gender-based violence, and many others, such topics comes into my mind. And I've visited shops. For example, I was based in Kelebalak in Bentiu town, and I've visited shops, and you find that some shops do not even have menstrual products to sell because maybe the demand and a few other things is an issue. And just like Nyadak said, is that with the flood situation now, it's sad that menstrual products are not now a priority to most of the traders, because again, I might not blame them. If they bring, is there someone to buy? Because now issues, people are now prioritizing money for food. Mm-hmm. We've left out other things that happen, and yet it is very important to have parts. And then I also have had a discussion at the POC, and one key informant, who was a lady, said the last time they got menstrual products was about 2-3 years ago.
Wow.
Yes, 2-3 years ago that it was distributed to them, and now some of them are already spoiled or they are not now using it, and they had to improvise with other things. I was also in Apibor, that was last year, twice on two different occasions, and you find that things are extremely expensive, and that when they charter things from here, it's mostly water, food items, and all those stuff, and it's very rare that you also see menstrual products available. And yes, there are friendly spaces that are there that I was also able to get into and had discussions with girls and boys. But of course, key things that I mentioned earlier on came out, accessibility, the availability is a problem. And even if they are there, do they have the finances to be able to purchase?
Mm-hmm.
Because these are certain things that really beat my mind. But before that, I've been to most parts of this country. All the states, and I went deeper into villages, and you find that getting menstrual products is really, like, seeing them, it's an issue.
So obviously, if you can't see them, then that means
they're not there.
And what is the alternative if these the pads, the ones, the factory made pads are not available? What could be the other solution that could maybe help with having more possible ways of handling this menstrual issue?
Okay, we will say you improvise. By improvising, there are ways where you can cut your cloth into pieces, but that comes into issues of the hygiene aspect later on, where you talked about shop.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have the shop to wash? Because you don't just need to wash the cloth and dry it. And the unfortunate part is that, Kiden, is that even if you use reusable parts, or if you use this improvised cloth that you wash, and then you have to put under the sun.
Mm-hmm.
But you find that because of the stigma, they are just put inside under the bed.
Mm. Even Libas is being put inside under the bed.
Under the bed. and there are high chances of infections that comes in. So you can have that. If you have cotton, you improvise using cotton, which definitely is disposable. After use, you have to dispose. And I'm not so sure if we have enough cotton that is available. In worst case scenarios, there are girls who have said they have used pieces of papers.
What?
Yes.
That is shocking for
yes,
me.
Yes, worst case scenarios, they have used that. And because they had to improvise and be able to get something that can absorb the blood. So it's really sad.
Wow. Josie, coming back to you, you've spoken to the women over there in Fangak. What conversation have you had with them, aside from knowing how they are suffering? What are they saying they need?
Whatever they need, mostly it's just on that pad issue, like maybe if they could be provided with pads on that could also support them, and some training on maybe how they can be able to make their own, like, you know, we have this company that can train how to make pads, reusable ones,
mm-hmm.
and at least they could manage to support the rest.
Yeah.
So I think that is the main issue. And then again, when it comes to soap, you know, having a piece of cloth and you don't have a soap to wash it. Yeah.
Wow.
So again, you cannot get also a soap in the market apart from the ones being distributed.
Interesting.
Really, really difficult.
The situation keeps getting worse.
Yeah. It's really hard. It's really difficult. And when you look at it, it's so sad, you know, going through such a situation that maybe you do not look for, you cannot prevent, you know. It's hard.
Okay.
And most girls don't go to school because of such situation. They don't go. And we have less shortage of, like, you get only few, those ones who are not yet, not reached the age of puberty or something. Those are the ones going to school. But let's say from 13 to and above, you cannot get them to school because of such scenarios. The fear when it happens, what's next, and so on. So the girls who drop out, like, every year are there. So you'll get only a few, the young ones. Then the young ones go to school. So when you reach that puberty stage, and then you cannot go to school anymore. So that's what happens.
And that's really a sad thing, which brings me back to what you said earlier, Data Gordon. Mm. We are alive. We came to be because a menstrual cycle happened.
Yeah.
And that cycle is quite important,
yeah,
to, you know, the existence of human beings. Mm. So my question would be, shouldn't this be like a need, not even a want, because it's wants that we need to pay for.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if there's humanitarian aid, shouldn't sanitary pads and issues to do with menstrual hygiene be a priority, not just for the international organizations, but for the government as well?
Yes, and that reminds me of the government commitment during the Nairobi summit on ICPD.
Mm-hmm.
That was in 2019. I believe it was November 11th to 14th. And by then, to be more specific, is that it was the Minister of Gender, Child and Social Welfare, who is currently the Speaker of Parliament.
Mm-hmm.
Right Honorable Jemanu Nkumba. She was the one who went on behalf of the government and made those commitments. And one of the commitments is to provide free sanitary pads to all primary and secondary schools girls who are
all
menstruating.
All across the country?
Yes.
Okay.
That is the commitment made by the government. And it is to be effective next year.
Mm-hmm.
But we are saying that much as it's going to be effective next year, conversations and discussions and budgeting processes must start now. Because, for example, in the budget, is it there that, yes, the government is going to procure the sanitary pads? Or those commitments were made by the government, and then the development partners are the one to implement, which is very unfortunate. So that is something with the government that I just want to remind ourselves on. And secondly is that tax exemption on sanitary products, because if taxes are exempted, there is usual that, yes, NGOs brings in and they are exempted. No, we are saying let the traders be exempted
from
taxes.
Also, yeah.
They bring it at a very low cost and then be able to also give out at a very low cost. Secondly, is that we've had discussion with the Director General in the Ministry of General Education, and she was having this idea that how about we have companies that produces parts in the country,
mm-hmm.
which I bought her idea,
mm-hmm.
and I think it's all about how do we now put investments into having companies that produces even disposable parts within the country, so that it is more
accessible
and affordable,
cheap.
And we can be able to reach out to many people. The other aspect of thing that we need to talk about, and that's all coming from the government, is a policy. We need to have a menstrual health management policy that should be able to look at information, not just when you've started menstruating, but even before menstruating, you should be able to have accessibility to the information. I'm happy that there is going to be a male engagement strategy that is going to be developed by the Minister of Gender, Child and Social Welfare. And I look forward to be part and parcel of this engagement. Say that we don't only focus on male engagement on GBV, but also on engagement on menstrual health,
yes,
and other aspects of things. So that way we'll be also looking at how do we inculcate the aspect of male engagement on menstrual health right from primary. There is a school health policy that is being developed, I think, with the support from that is UNESCO. So they are getting into the final validation and all those aspects. So unfortunately that I wasn't there in the other validation, but I look forward to be part and parcel and see, does it also translate into engagement of boys in the primary section? Now how is the school set up? Because if an investor comes in and says, I want to build a school, you should, as the government, you should be able to say, if you're building a school, this will be the structure and this will be an aspect of menstrual health. Because we need to have shelters that are menstrual appropriate for girls and women in school. Because even in offices, if in your office where you go to the showers or to the shelter, let me say to the latrine, and there is no bucket there.
For dropping
pads,
a pad. And,
pick it today, have a conversation with the management, and let's have that.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Let's start from there, and then we'll be able to move forward. So tax exemption policies. Let's have ample research, as much as possible, and we'll definitely be able to see how we can leverage on some of these things.
Oh, thanks, Gordon, for that update on all these things that are supposed to happen. We do hope that they will happen. But before I come back to you, Nyadak, you're right there with those women, and you're hearing from them. What do you think is the immediate solution to them right now in this moment as you speak to us?
I think the immediate solution is that if there are any organizations or volunteers that would really want to chip in and help, maybe buy a few some pads and maybe can be distributed to them, or maybe get cotton, just any way that they can be helped at the moment. Because really, trust me, Kiden, we have a long way to go on how we can assist these people. When you think of it, it's really becoming more than impossible to help them. Because when you look at this sector, nothing is going through. Yeah.
And
so
as
if there's any help that comes from.
Yes.
Yeah. So unless there are agencies that come together and try as much as possible to get the fuel funds and buy menstrual hygiene kits that will come and help them at least.
All right. Thank you. As a woman, let me just ask you this question. Remember, you can call in, by the way. I'll be opening my line shortly. These are the numbers 0912-062950 or 0921-290-2950. We have 0912-062079 and 0921-902079. If you have a question or you'd like to share your thought with us, you can call on those numbers. Back to you, Nyadak. As a woman among those women, how does it make you feel to see them going through what they're going through right now?
It's too much. Even if you've seen my video, you've seen the sadness and the devastation on my face because of I put myself in their shoe. Yeah, you know, I'm a woman and I go through the same thing. For instance, when I'm going through that stage, and sometimes I feel uncomfortable and I have all that could help me to protect myself. Now imagine them, they don't have. And then we're in a society where stigmatization is still very higher. They don't really consider those things to be very important in this society at the moment. And then these women are the breadwinners that are supposed to be moving up and down to maybe search for food for their kids on daily basis. And then it happens like 2 to 3 days you cannot move and your kids are just there. There's nothing that you could get. So it's really frustrating and it's hurting. There is a time where I'll come with few when I'm maybe coming from Juba, maybe to the field. I'll carry enough and maybe have those ones who could reach out. Now, I just imagine what of those ones who are far and I could not manage to get them in such a situation. Because when you look at the context, it's really bad. With water all over and so on. So it's pain. It's hard. So,
thank you, Nyadak, for sharing.
To reach out and see if there's any other woman who could them. Yeah.
Thank you, Nyadak, for sharing that. It's I can't imagine what you're going through with being there. I'm here, and I'm also not feeling very good about it. Data Gordon, what is to be done now? I mean, yeah, we are waiting for 2023. And obviously, I mean, looking at how things work with the system, sometimes it can be very, very slow. Yeah. How can the communities, how can people support these women?
I think let's start from... men, as men, is that as we, because it's mostly seen that men are the breadwinners of the family, being the head, and masharif and all those stuff. So as you give those masharif, you know that you need to give money for sanitary products. It starts right from there at the family level. You if you're able to do that, that means you've started it yourself, and another family starts, it goes in beyond. Because believe me, the more we wait for the government, it will take long for us to be able to see, because there are a lot of bureaucracies and all the stuff that will come in. So it starts from us as individuals. Like for me, I move with parts in my car. Yes.
Okay.
And every time we have maybe a short trip, I'm going out of Juba, I at least put a few packets inside. Mm-hmm. If we go and maybe we stop somewhere and we find young girls or women, we give them. Just like of recent, we went to Terkeka with a few friends, and we had to go with some dignity kids, and we reached a cattle camp, and we asked a few questions. It was not okay, and we had to give the dignity kids.
Yeah.
So it's important that we normalize moving with parts. And every time I go to the shop to buy parts, if the ones I have are already finished, people will be looking at me, a man buying parts. and I see it very easy, very simple, and I do that. So moving forward is let's empower men and boys on menstrual health or on menstruation, so that they don't stigmatize women and girls, and they should be able to support their sisters, their wives, their daughters in a very open way. And I will also encourage women, speak up. When you speak up, let's move away from that self-stigma. If you move away from that self-stigma, it helps empower other people. Because I'm proud to say that there are female friends of mine that anytime they can meet me and say, hey, there is this other issue, 1, 2, 3, 4, let's have a discussion. Oh, do you have parts? Okay. I'll just give the key, go pick it in the car, and that is all. So I'm looking at this from the other aspect. We even had what we call the parts for birthdays.
Okay.
If it is your birthday and I am coming for your birthday, just know that I'm coming at least with a packet of pads.
Ayua. Boyfriends, have you heard?
Yes.
Gift your girlfriend's pads,
yeah,
as well.
Not just necessarily. You can buy her a car.
That's
you
interesting.
Can, you can buy her a car or whatever, but have at least a packet. That alone, if you give your girlfriend, let me say, a pad or any lady a pad, you've created an open atmosphere for a conversation that she can even be open to you to discuss about her menstrual issues, because there are people who are going through maybe severe pain in their periods and they will want someone to talk to. So that alone is very important. And I remember a few friends of mine picked this up and we are moving forward with it. And when I was in Yali during Valentine's, we surprised the girls in our class.
Are you?
Even the facilitators, they were all female. We surprised them and we said, parts for Valentine's. And we gave them. And it was amazing experience. Some of the girls from the other classes came and said, where are our parts? We're like, ask the boys in your classes.
Nice. That's really nice. Mm. Thank you for that, Gordon. Let me come to you, Nyadak. What would be your final remark What is your future? What do you see should happen in the future as regards menstrual hygiene and health? How can we fix this situation of poverty?
Good question. Actually, I think we should not mostly rely on the government to do a lot of things. As you know, our country is not yet very stable. And for the organizations who are working really hard maybe to support, they should also need to put this thing as a priority. They also need to see it as a need, not maybe underlooking it. They don't look at it as very important. So mostly when you're writing your projects, you also need to consider these women out here. Like, you have to see how you could help them out. And we can have maybe a project maybe only supporting ladies and women on menstrual hygiene management. And that would really be good. And also the educating our boys and men that this situation, it's something that will be there, and we have to look for ways to deal with it, all of us, because it's like our problem, all of us. It's only one person.
Okay.
Yeah, so oil in oil. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
We have to support each other, not yet reach that far of maybe this place has not yet developed to a point where they'll understand that this is a need, you know. But it's a gradual change, slowly by slowly. If we continue educating them, they will understand, or maybe advising maybe the business people to also put that as a priority. It's very important. Thank you.
Thank you, Nyadak. Thank you for what you're doing out there in Fangak, and wish you all the best. Is there any way... you asked for help. You said pads can be sent. Is there any particular way this can be done involving you?
The only way that if you manage to get them, maybe just get a means of transport, that is only by boat.
Mm-hmm.
It takes like 2 to 3 weeks to reach here. So we'll get people there. Then, yeah, that's how it is. So
wow.
Look for people who can help transport these things from there to here, and yeah, from there we can I can take over
by boat.
People can volunteer that can be done, yeah, by boat, yeah.
Yes,
3 weeks.
If you're out there and you'd like to help,
for now.
Mm-hmm. If you're out there and you'd like to help, that is the only way to go. We need, it's only through the boat. So if you have access to this opportunity, if you can take up this opportunity, go ahead and do that. And how can you be reached, Nyadak?
I can only be reached on social media.
On Facebook.
Maybe on Messenger, on Skype, or yeah, on WhatsApp. Maybe through email. That is it. Because we have no network here. There's no network, so you cannot call.
Okay. So on social media, where you posted your video, what's the name? So people can reach you, those who want to help.
On Facebook, Josie Nyadak, and also on Skype, I'm also using the same, Josie Nyadak. Yeah, and then my WhatsApp number is 0917563911. So whoever will be willing can reach me through my WhatsApp, my Skype, my Facebook.
All right. Thank you so much, Nyadak, for joining the conversation and what you're doing out there. There you heard it. If you want to help, definitely reach on her social media on Facebook, Josie Nyadak. The spelling is J-O-S-S-Y. Nyadak is N-Y-A-D-A-K. Or on WhatsApp on 0917-563-911. Thank you, Nyadak, and have a lovely, lovely day as you continue with your work over there in Fangak.
Thank you very much. I'm really grateful.
Okay. Thank you. That there is Nyadak from, she's working over there in Jonglei, in Fangak County, in Jonglei. And so, yes, Dr. Gordon, time is well spent. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
And for continuing with your work. We'll keep updated on what you're up to.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure. And just finally is that every change starts with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So just like Nyadak has given out a plea, and when she goes there, she goes with a few. So how about you can also get up, see what you can send. If you don't send to Fangak, you can send to any, even your village, mm-hmm. or even your neighbors. Try to look around. Change starts with you, and it's, it will start now.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Data.